I would like to discuss a topic tonight, and I just, as some words of introduction, I remember taking a group of 10th graders to New York for a Shabbos, and I wanted to show them the Rabbi Reisman's shir, Motzei Shabbos. Not so much that I never heard Rabbi Reisman's shir. I didn't know if it was a good shir, not a good shir. That's not why I wanted to go. But I heard that there's two Rashiva Torvadas now. One of the Rashiva Torvadas. I heard there's 2,000 people that go to his Novi Shir, Balabatim, on Motzei Shabbos. I couldn't get over it. 2,000 people go to a shir on a Motzei Shabbos? Motzei Shabbos, you know, for the boys that I was teaching that year, is like almost like usher to learn Motzei Shabbos. You know, a Motzei Shabbos, I just want them to see that. And I figured if 2,000 people, and I knew some of the people who were going, they were just regular Balabatim, they were no great sheikhs, just, oh, you got to go to this, it's great. Regular Balabatim. I figured if regular people going to this shir on a Motzei Shabbos in Flatbush, then maybe my guys could handle it. So I obviously didn't say we're going to a shir on Motzei Shabbos, but right after that shir, we challenged the Mir Yeshiva to a basketball game. We challenged anyone that had their own gym to a basketball game. We found out who had gyms, and we called them up. We heard you have a team, and we'll beat you. And they got all insulted, and they said, "We'll check. Okay, when you coming in?" I said, "Oh, we're coming in. If you want to dare play us, we got a lousy team, but we got a free game. We don't have to pay for it." So, but the game was scheduled for late, and I that's how I conned them into going to this year. So, someone told me I should check out the topic of the shir first, and I didn't, because I didn't know who to call. And I got up there, someone told me he's talking about Hasidus tonight. So, why didn't I check? I'm so stupid. So, then I found out it wasn't Hasidus, it was Mishkal Hasidus, which I still didn't chap why that wasn't Hasidus, but Mishkal Hasidus means a balance. Mishkal Hasidus means the scale of Hasidus means a scale. To be a chassid means to be a holy person. Things have to be in a balance. So that's what I want to speak about tonight, is how do we keep ourselves balanced. So let me just start off with, you know, just as a springboard for conversation. I think in this week's parasha there's a mitzvah that someone who is a megadif, who is a blasphemer against Hashem and Ovid Avodah Zarah, so after you stone him, you hang him. And the Rabbag says, why do you hang him? So that people should have yira. Laman yishvu viro, you hang him. After skill, you hang him. Everyone should see the guy hanging. Okay? The very next mitzvah in the Torah is that the Rabbag points this out, the very next line, the Rabbag, he says that you have to bury him on the same day. You have to hang him, and then you have to bury him that day. Why? Rabbag says, because it'll be a Chil Hashem, that people are going to, you know, see, like, this is what people in Klal Yisrael do, they Ovid Avodah Zarah, it'll be a Chil Hashem. So, if you're reading these, that's the end of the Chazal. So, when you see this, you say to yourself, wow, the Man Yishvu Yiro would tell you to hang this guy. You stone him, and then you hang him. Everyone should see. And then, like, hours later, what are you doing? Like, you would think, hey, keep him up there for days. People should show him. The Man Yishvu Yiro. People should see. Maybe not enough people saw it. Keep him up for 2 days, 3 days. No, right away, there's the next mitzvah, you have to bury him. Why? Because of Chil Hashem. It's like Chil Hashem was a Chil Hashem in the earlier in the day also. Laman Yishiro tells you should keep him up there for longer. Chil Hashem says you shouldn't put him up there at all. So we see from here that...
What does that, we should keep him up for longer?
Now I'm saying, if it's Laman Yishmu Viro, if the purpose why he's hanging is that people should learn. Don't do, you know, it's a terrible thing. You should keep him up for long. You hang him. That's why you hang him after he's dead, after the skila. But you should keep him up there for much longer. L'man Yishviro. There's a mitzvah L'man Yishviro. People should learn, so you have to do it. Yeah, sounds that way. And then right away, you have to bury him because the Chil Hashem. People will say, oh, the Chai Yisrael is doing terrible averis. It's a terrible thing. So they're opposite svaris. They're opposites. On one hand, you hang him L'man Yishviro. People should learn. And right away, there's another mitzvah to bury him. It's be a Chil Hashem. So they're opposites. They're opposite. They were opposite direction, but both are true. So you see from here, you have to have a balance in life. I didn't have time. I didn't look up anything. Just from memory, we want to talk about balance tonight. So I just want to make sure it's, you know, it's the stage is set to discuss it. Maybe you have some questions also on the topic. But I remember a schmooze that the Rashiva said, Rabbi Gamliel. I have no idea where I heard it myself or saw it. I don't remember. Rabbi Gamliel laments that he not on the Madrega of Kibbutz of Aim that Esav was. Esav was on such a gevaldig Madrega of Kibbutz of Aim that he put on his big day Shabbos to serve his father. And Rabbi Gamliel was lamenting. He was like upset with himself that he's not on the Madrega to put on this big day Shabbos to serve his father. So Rashiv asked the Kasha. So if he was Taka felt that's such a beautiful thing to put on your big day Shabbos to serve your father, so why didn't Rav Gamliel just put on his big day Shabbos to serve his father? As if it was trapped that he didn't have a father, so what's he lamenting? He's lamenting that I can't do Kibbutz of Aim. But he wasn't saying that. He said he was not on Madrega to do what Esav did. So what do you mean on the Madrega? If you think that that's the high Gvaldik Madrega, that when you serve your father, you should put on, you know, big day Shabbos, so just do it. When I'm just laughing, like, there are different dargas of kavod. One of my brothers-in-law, so he, for, I mean, I'm sure there are others like that, but I never heard it when I first met him. I didn't see anyone like this. His family, he grew up, Shabbos, he wears a hat and jacket for all the tefillos and all the sudas, for the whole suda. As soon as the suda is over, if the benching is over, he takes off his hat and jacket. But, you know, there's certain levels of covered Shabbos. That's his family's minhag. They wear a hat and jacket, you know, suit, tie, everything, till after the suda. He'll take it off after davening, but when the suda starts, for Kiddush, he puts it on and stays till after benching. I'm just saying, like, so Esav was on such a high madrega that he put on Big Day Shabbos. I just want to, not that Esav did something wrong. It was you're doing a mitzvah, and if you want to honor the mitzvah properly, you should dress properly. Like, we get dressed up for tefillah, covered, you know, covered at tefillah. So we do our special big begadim for tefillah. So Asa was doing a mitzvah. He put on special begadim to serve his father. So the Rashi asked him, why didn't Ramiel do it? And I think the answer to this is very, very important. The answer, the Rashiva said, is that if you try and do something that you're not on the Madrega to do, it's not going to come out any great mitzvah. Why? What happens? If Rabbi Gamliel would have put on a big day Shabbos to serve his father, and then let's say when he's serving his father and the soup spills, say his father moves and the soup spills on his father. So what you're opening yourself up for is like, oh, you look what you did to my suit. Whereas if you're on the Madrega to put on that suit, then it's like, you know, like a let's say you're playing baseball and you wear a uniform. Okay, you slide into second base, you know, head first, your whole uniform gets dirty. Ah, you walk off the field, you feel proud that your uniform got dirty if you're on the Madrega to wear the uniform. But if you're not on the Madrega to wear the uniform, so in performing the mitzvah, so then Chalila and Avera could come out from it. But that, I remember from that shmooze, what came out is that the Torah was given for us to absorb the Torah into our lives, la'at la'at, little by little. If you're not on the Madrega to do something, then you're not supposed to be doing it. Rambam Gamliel understood that. He knew he wasn't on the Madrega to wear the big day Shabbos to serve his father. Therefore, he wasn't supposed to put on big day Shabbos. He was just lamenting that I'm not on the Madrega to be able to do it. So I think this is the important thing. We often look around and maybe we see people who are on very high Madrega, and we get confused with, we lament, and we're not like Rambam Gamliel. We have to lament the right way. Oh, I wish I was on the Madrega to do that. But what happens is, halavai, we did that. But people get depressed. They say, oh yeah, I'm not on the Madrega to do that. I want to do that. And they don't do it. And they feel guilty they're not doing it. You know, they look around. They want to be able to do certain things, and they get depressed. You come into this base menish, to a typical base menish. You see, the walls are lined with Sfarim, okay? And, you hear people quoting all these Sfarim, and you don't know this, and you don't know that. And it's going to be overwhelming. It's like the yeshiva guy's life is filled with depression. It's true. That's the nature of being a base menish guy, because we're exposed to all of the higher learning, and we want to be able to know so much of it, like, right away. And we look at the people who do know, and we wish, oh, they know it, so why don't I know it? They're only like a year older than me, and that means they couldn't have learned it in just 1 year, so they knew it beforehand, so why, they get all depressed from it. That causes a lot of problems.
Already, how do we know? What's the difference between knowing what our Madrega is and being satisfied with it, or knowing thing that we
it's
can
a
do
great
better.
Question.
Even then,
it's a very good question.
We can feel upset ourselves. Balance. Why am I only
how
on this?
How are you supposed to know what to do? So the best thing I would advise, I think it's the best aid I could get. I did write up, because I just want to, it's on tape, so I don't mind saying this. If anyone's listening to this, anyone's crazy enough to listen to this, I don't ever give a bad before. So this is my first bad, but I heard, I always see Rabbi Lubin pacing, so I always ask him, what is he is pacing? What's he pacing? So they always say he's preparing for the bad. So why he's like giving a pilpashir? Like when he's giving a pilpashir, I know he's pacing. What? But he's pacing like exactly what to say. Rabbi Lubin is amazing. He mamish thinks through exactly what to say. So I was feeling guilty that I didn't pace what to say. So the least I did was in my preparation, I knew the topic that I wanted to talk about, but I prepared to write a list of different tachbulas that could work to help a person stay balanced. But one of you hit on, thank you very much, one of the things that I had prepared is that it's very, very good when a person does feel that way to go ask a Rebbe, if you're not comfortable with the Rebbe that you currently have, ask a former Rebbe. You know, so-and-so does this, do you think I should be doing that? To ask, or so-and-so said this, do you think I should be doing that? A lot of times you could hear in a schmooze, and you make an application from a schmooze, and you think, you know, before you take on a new hanhaga, you check it out. Sometimes they're misunderstood, very, very possible to be misunderstood, to try and check things out. I think that's a very important idea, so that we easily could get fooled. I heard this from, I think I heard this from Rabbi Lubin once, that on that same Mishnah where Tana, that Rabbi Gamliel said that he lamented that he wasn't on the Madrega to put on the Big Day Shabbos to cover his father, so the Chazon Ish had a kasha. How taka is it possible that Esav, HaRasha, was on a higher Madrega than Rabbi Gamliel on Kibbutz? How is it possible? I said, we hold Esav was a Rasha. Right, and he was, you know, he was a rotzeach and all the grubber things. It wasn't daki dakis. There is a shita, but we hold that he was kasi gasis.
We say shmuz from Esav then.
No, I assume Esav was a Russia kasi gasis.
And you can say shmuz from him.
What do you mean say shmuz from him?
If he's a kasi gasis,
you
never say
shmuz
from
Esav. I never say shmuz from Esav. I never heard any shmuz from Esav. Even Esav, I never heard said that Esav could do it.
You say like Paro, we say shmuz on Paro.
Yeah, but not on things that he did. You know, yeah, no. If Paro said a kapitel tehillim, then we say a shmuz. But not if he did something wrong. Even Paro could do that. So anyway, that's what I heard. So there's a Chazon Ish had that kasha, and he said over a teretz. I'm saying a little bit wrong from Rav Kook. Rav Kook had the same, asked the same kasha once that the it appears this is on tape. We had trouble for this, but that the Zionists who were pushing the Zionist allegiances and philosophies, they were anti-religious, they weren't religious, and they seemed to be more nizer in certain mitzvahs of Yeshiva Aretz than some of the Haredim. So Rav Kook, who was Adam Chashev, I think he was accused a little bit because he took a position as a chief rabbi, and some of the, you know, the old Yeshiva people didn't like anything that had any government sanction. So that's why there was a little bit of taina, I think, on that. But Rav Kook was a Adam Chashev. So he said like this. He said, the pshat is, of course they're on a high madrega, because in Yeshiva Aretz. But the reason is because the Zionists, they don't have 613 mitzvahs. They have one mitzvah. And we have one mitzvah, Yeshiva Aretz. And in Echanami, on one mitzvah, that's not their one mitzvah. That's their whole Torah. They made their whole Yeshiva Aretz the whole Torah. So in Mela, they reached the higher Madrega, but that's not the Torah. So the Chazon Ish applied that to this word also. That by Esav, it's not the pshat, how did he reach a higher level in the mitzvah of Kibbutz. To Esav, that was the whole Torah. His whole Torah was Kibbutz. But we have 613 mitzvahs, so we have to be balanced. We can't put all our eggs into one, because we have to do a little bit of that. So we have to be very careful not to do too much. I remember once, I was Meshavish the Reshiva, and I asked him, how come, I remember, and I think I learned a tremendous lesson from this. I asked him, how come the guys in yeshiva don't fast Erev Rosh Hashanah? So I asked him. So Rashi, like, he didn't, like, answer me. It was out of character. He just didn't answer me. He sort of changed the subject. I asked again, and then I thought maybe he didn't hear me. I didn't ask a second time. I found out years later that the guys do fast Erev Rosh Hashanah yeshiva. But the yeshiva didn't want to tell me. He didn't want to tell me because, you know, if I wanted to, you know, maybe he thought he didn't want to tell me to fast. Like I'd say, a lot of halacha is, so if you can do it, then you do it. I remember once the Mishnah Berurah brings down that the first night of Sukkot, you should wait, shoh shtayim, right, 1 or 2 hours. So one person came to the house once and asked the Rosh Yeshiva, I was there, Rebbetzin, Allah Shalom was there, and said, like, so we were at a hotel and they didn't know, like, one, why does Mishra say 1 or 2? You should say, like, what kind of zman is that? You should wait, how long should you wait? An hour or two. Well, which one is it, an hour or two? So Rebbetzin got a little excited, you know, and she says, this is the problem with hotels, because the Mishra wasn't written, some halachas have to be geared for what situation are you in? You know, you have a lot of company, and there are people, you know, maybe younger children who are there, people aren't feeling well, Archim who are traveling, you know, and then I would think you maybe wait an hour. If it's just you and your wife and you eating all day, and how long should you wait? Maybe that person can wait longer. But it's not a lot of halakha is not open and cut. It's not, you know, cut and dry, black and white. It has to be finessed. You have to figure out what the situation is. That takes a lot of balance, and I think that, you know, it's very hard to get that, you know, early on, you know, 20s balance. It takes a lot of time to develop that. That's why you have to ask a lot of shaylos, you know, shaylos of what the right thing to do is. And just because it's the right thing to do for one person doesn't mean it's the right thing to another person. Like telling someone over here in, like, Miami to keep Chol of Yisrael. Okay? Okay? I'm just using an example. It's not the same as telling somebody who lives in Borough Park to keep Chol of Yisrael. You can't find that Chol of Yisrael in Borough Park. You know, it's like you tell a guy, don't keep Chol of Yisrael. You know, in Bar Park, I'm not saying if you're Bar Park, you should keep calling Yisrael. I'm just saying it's a different Shiloh. You know, in Miami, is a little different. It's much it's harder. You know, a lot of things are much harder. So, okay, is the person able to do that? You know, I'm not passing whether you should or you shouldn't, but that requires balance. It requires balance. The Rashiva used to say over, not the Rashiva, every year they had by Reb David Leibowitz's yard site, former Talmidim of Reb David, who were even older than the Rashiva, used to come and speak. I don't know if there are any Talmidim, 20 Talmidim left, but so I mean, he told over one thing that Reb David used to say over. He was like almost like a satire of this fella that comes home from Shul Friday night with Uli Yarchim, and he comes to make Kiddush, and the challah is on the table and no cover. So he starts yelling at his wife, "How many times have I tell you, you have to cover the challah?" He starts yelling at her, "Cover the challah before you make Kiddush." Reb David Leibowitz used to chuckle. He'd say, "It's such a nar. You know why you cover the challah? You cover the challah so the wine shouldn't be embarrassed, because it says, you know, chita comes to chita or a gefa, and chita really should come first. And here you're making a bracha on the yayin, so that the challah shouldn't be embarrassed. You cover the challah. So what does the guy do? He embarrasses his wife in front of the archim. How could you not cover the challah? You caused embarrassment to the challah. He doesn't chop the whole, you know, like it's totally out of balance. This is not the mitzvah of that the Har Galyavar for. Yeah, if you cover the challah, you should cover the challah.
Are you saying we draw the line at dry halacha though?
We try and keep halacha, but even sometimes halacha one has to know what's minhag. You know, you have to know. It takes a lot. There's a lot of ideas that have to be learned. So the main thing I think is, you know, even based on shmuzim and, you know, vadim, I wouldn't base any. I wouldn't take anything out of this vad either and say, oh, therefore, I should, when I move back to Flatbush, keep Klal Yisrael or not keep Klal Yisrael. You have to check, because it could be each person asking the Shaila is a different way. So, I think it goes to some of my, Takbulus, yes.
What does on the Madriga mean? That if he doesn't keep this, he will get stressed out? He won't be able to handle it?
That could be emotionally he's not ready. So he's firm enough, but not emotionally able to handle it.
He gets stressed out.
Yeah, he can't handle it.
Also, if we're on a madriga, does that mean we're responsible to do that madriga's worth of physical halacha? Let's say you attest that you're on a madriga, so there you probably also shouldn't come well like that. You probably, if I require to do that also.
If you require, means if you could do it on that day.
So if I can wait 2 hours, then Pashas, I can't, I shouldn't really wait 1 hour, right?
Okay, yeah, maybe. We'll speak in private. I've ever seen them like hotels. That's what's the problem with hotels. Because everyone thinks there's one halacha. That was, by the way, Rebbetzin wasn't the posek, but she often said the halacha before the reshiva. So I have a few tachbulas, which they're not written anywhere. I just thought that they could be helpful. That one thing is that, first of all, we have to. The Stipler said that the biggest reason why people leave yeshiva is because of yish. That's the biggest yetzahara is yish. So I think the first thing to realize is that yish depression, and you know, I'm not talking about clinically depressed. If a guy's clinically depressed, you get professional help or medication. Clinically depressed, they say, is a chemical imbalance. You know, it's like being allergic to something. You're something in your body makes you, you know, allergic, so they give you shots, injections, so you're not allergic to it. Allergic to bees, bee bites. So you have to have medicine. You get a bee bite, you have to put a medicine. So the depression, it's hard to understand it. The little psychology I know, it very often could be a chemical imbalance. So the person gets that chemical, it's not depressed. Fine. I'm not talking about, when I say depression, I don't mean clinical depression. I'm talking about the guy's down and he feels bad, like I'm a loser. I can't help say that without telling you one of the funniest stories that happened to me. That when I moved to Miami, literally, I think the day I moved to Miami, one of my neighbors comes to me, an elderly fellow, comes to me and he says, you know, he walks by, he says, "Hello, who are you?" So I said, I just moved in. He says, well, what do you do? He says, I'm going to be a Rebbe at Teres Chaim. He says, Teres Chaim? And he takes a step back, looks at me. He says, you know what you are? I said, no. What am I? He said, you're a loser. So he didn't smile. So I looked at him, and I moved close to him, and I said, let's see if I can do this with a straight face. Because I did it with a straight face. He says, don't you ever say that to me again. So the guy, oh, you never met him, something like that. Says, oh yeah? He wasn't intimidated. And why not? So I got close to him, I said, because it's my father's first name. And he looks, and I said, a loser. And then the guy cracked up. By the way, that's my father's first name. A loser.
Oh.
A loser. So he became my best friend. From that minute on, he became my best friend. Has nothing to do with
he
didn't know. Can you imagine, he called me a loser, he didn't know it was my father's first name. What a coincidence. I know, I thought of that on the spot. It wasn't a prepared line. But I figured with humor, I'm going to get him. He became my best friend. And that had nothing to do with anything. What was I saying before that?
You don't want people to call you a loser.
People think they're a loser.
Oh, yeah, the cyclist said. Yeah, I told you the cyclist. Okay. I knew he was going to ask. How could he not ask? I set him up. I've a few. Here's another one I think is very important. We don't celebrate the things that we do good. You know, you finish, you do a whole Seder from 9, whatever it's time, 9:40, 9:45, till 1:15 is a celebration. If we would celebrate more the things that we do right, we wouldn't get down as much when we can't do it. I made a siyum 2 years ago. I made a deal with myself, and I keep every one of my siddurim that I have in a week. Sachi, remember this? I told you about it. If I keep all the siddurim I have in a week, I'm gonna make a party, make a siyum. I don't remember what I was gonna do. I make a big siyum for myself, celebrate. Now, and just to tell you, I'm not embarrassed to say it. It only happened one time. I kept every siddur. I have all these crazy times I have to fit in, and a lot of things happen, and no ones potters me. Because I have an ones, I can't. There's sometimes ones, but I can't make the siyum. But I don't get down, but I can't make the siyum. I think if we would begin to celebrate the things we daven good that day, every person make their own, you know, star, make the stars for yourself, you know, and when you finish it, you know, you reward yourself somehow in an appropriate way. We have to celebrate small successes, those small things. Add up, and most of the thing it keeps you stable and balanced when things go wrong. I have one of my older Hashpa guys when I was in Beis Medrash, so I don't leave his name out. I don't know if I should say it on tape, but it's not a secret. He told me, I once asked him, what do you do if you ever get down? He says, I'll tell you what I do. He says, when I got married, there were like three Sheva Brachas that were particularly meaningful to him. A lot of his chaverim made shevah brachos because he got married late, so a lot of the kol people were more in position. Their wives could make a thing, so it makes a difference to get married early from your chevra or late from your chevra. So he got married late, so a lot of his chevra made, and they all spoke so beautifully about him by shevah brachos, which he taped. And when he gets down, he listens to the tape of all the things. It's not I laughed at the time. It's not such a crazy idea because we forget what our milas are. So, not to give you gaiva, but like, you know, when you get that, I don't know, you have some bar mitzvah Torah, I don't know. But if someone said something nice about you, so try and write it down. And then when you're feeling down on yourself, remember that this person told you that why you're so special. You have to remember. Okay, I mentioned asking shilas. I mentioned that getting down is the biggest yetzirah. The stifler says the biggest yetzirah why guys leave yeshiva, which seems so silly, because if not the fact that he'd be down on himself, what he's doing is not a reason to leave yeshiva. He's doing gevaldik. He's being in yeshiva. But the fact that he's getting down about it is what makes him leave yeshiva. It's like Moshe Kapoya Shtikl. And I'll tell you something else. This week we could do for other person, but this will end. another chaver told me I was preparing a shmooze once in my house, and I had a shmooze that I had a muskabura, someone in yeshiva, was an older guy. I happened to be there, that he said in yeshiva. That I wrote it down. I don't have too many of those. I mentioned many times. I regret I didn't write more. I was a good writer, and I didn't realize. No one ever told me I was a good writer, so I didn't write. I should have written more. It was very clear, and anyway, so I said, wow, I happen to have his number. So I called him up right there, and I said, Rabbi so-and-so, hi, oh, he hadn't heard from you in years. I just want to say, on this week's parsha, you have a beautiful schmooze I'm reading. So he said, I'll call you back. So I thought, oh, yeah, I woke him up, it was 11 o'clock at night. Why did I do that? He calls me back 2 days later. He says, Rabbi Mordechai, you saved my life. I was so depressed. Told me a few things going on, and I couldn't believe that at that moment that I was so down, that Ribono Shalom like made you call me. I got spooked out from it because I literally that's what happened. That like it coincided. So I think we have to get into the routine of complimenting each other, because you know if someone does something good or they're learning, you know, if someone helps you, you have to say, wow, you're tell them something good, because you don't know, you may be saving the guy's life, and it'll help you in the end. This takbul will help you, but you can't give yourself a compliment. You know, first of all, you won't buy it, and from someone else there's a chance you'll buy it, and it really helps. It helps such a, it's so very important. And if we could do that, listen to some of these takbulas, the main thing is that if they to try and keep a balanced life. We shouldn't get depressed from all the svarim, all the siddurim. So it's humanly impossible to be, we're not expected to be perfect, and we're not even expected to be a little bit less than perfect. We're just supposed to be trying. And whatever, there are kama shmuzim on that, but this is not a night for shmuzim, but that's the idea, to be balanced. For you, but you have to, because a nagrun, you know, someone who could, you know, l'tana achas docha mea tochachos, it could be, you know, someone cynical, they could always like, it's a bunch of hooey. It's like, that has very big effect, because it's very, very hard to work on yourself. You know, there are some, you know, Dolom Hell doesn't pay to working, so you can never change. But we don't, we hold that we can change. We should work on ourselves. So cynicism is, it's like a meat, it's like almost like a personality, but it's kedai to undo whatever cynicism, because if people mistake it, and it comes across sarcastic, and it comes across bitter, and it comes across, and a person starts believing in himself, and it's like it puts a negative twist on a lot of things. And remember, life is good. Life is good. It could be better. Is there a better society than being yeshiva? Rabbi Begida told me the funniest. There's a guy in yeshiva was arguing with him that, you know, you're, why even kolel? It's the worst life. So Rabbi Begida said as only he could. He's so clever. He told the guy, What? I get up, my wife goes to work and makes a little money. I come to yeshiva, I come in, you know, 9:30, I learn, we tell a joke, I go get a coffee, I schmooze all my chaverim. What could be better than that? People paying the bills. He just went out to the guy, like, what are you complaining about? You know, I do it for 6 years, and he just spun it in such a positive way. So you can spin things terribly, like, oh, you have no panasa, oh, you're living off your in-law. Like, there's so many negative things you could say that could spin it bad, but there are so many things you could spin good. Everything that could be spun in different ways. So cynical, to me, sounds like someone's spinning it in a bad way, and it should be avoided. When I first started in Chinuch, I was still using, the first year, I tried to stop it almost immediately. I didn't chop. The first year or two, I was still using sarcastic jokes, like shtachs, to kids. And it's very bad to do that. I don't want to stop entirely. You can get me to, you know, maybe sometimes a yachid who really asks for it. But no, well, I try not to even do that. Okay.